Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You're listening to CBS Sports Radio, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all live, all the time.
All right, we're back. Joe Beningo with you here, 8:03 on the East Coast, live from the hills of northern New Jersey on the CBS Sports Network nationally and, of course, on The Fan here in New York. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. These are, of course, challenging times, and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact their team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. And, of course, the CBS Sports Radio toll-free line is 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS. It's sponsored by GEICO. Whether you own or rent, GEICO makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work. Get a quote at geico.com. It's easy. We'll be back with more of your phone calls in a little while, but joining us right now, my good buddy, great sports writer, New York Post. His book is out. Great author as well, 7 Days in Augusta, behind the scenes at the Masters. We could only wish that we were coming up to the Masters. It would be starting this coming Thursday. Unfortunately, it's not, but Mark Cannizzaro is with us. Mark, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Joe. Good to hear your voice. How you doing down there?
I'm all right, bro. I'm hanging in. I'm doing okay. Really, really upset about, obviously, the situation we're in, we all are. But really was looking forward to the Masters this year, seeing if Tiger could come back and defend his title. Who knows if he even would play? He's had a lot of injuries already this year. He's missed a lot of tournaments when we were still playing golf. But how about that? How about the book? Tell us a little bit about your book, 7 Days in Augusta.
Well, I mean, for starters, it is a bummer. I'd be leaving, you know, actually tomorrow morning for that was my
right,
flight
right.
to go down there and cover for the week. And I've done 25 Masters. This would have been my 26th, and hopefully I'll get the 26th later in the fall. But, yeah, I did this really fun project I did about the last year or so, 7 Days in Augusta, having done 25 of them, but it was 24 before I did last year's, obviously, and a publisher came to me and was kind of bouncing some ideas off, and I said, look, I've done so many of these things. I've seen so many, you know, so many amazing things on the golf course, but, you know, I want to share some things in a book that people don't really see when they're watching the broadcasts on ESPN and CBS and whatnot. And, you know, because there's so many things that I see during that week, you know, whether it's, you know, the par three contest or talking to players under this famous oak tree behind the, behind the clubhouse, or the things going on around the town, like John Daly posting up at a Hooters down the street from Augusta National, you know, signing memorabilia and women's butts and all kinds of
right,
stuff.
Right.
It's just it's a crazy scene down there, and that entire tournament transforms that small city for that 1 week a year. And it's like the circus comes to town, and it's one of the coolest, greatest circuses you'll ever see. So I just try to blend some things in, you know, that I've covered and seen, like Tiger winning in 97 and obviously Tiger winning last year and the Norman collapse in 96, things like that, and just try to get a little flavor of what goes on in and around the tournament that maybe people don't see, because the Masters, Joe, as you know, it's the hardest ticket in sports, in my opinion, to get. I don't think I'm wrong on that. It's also the most exclusive golf club on the planet. You can't just go get a tee time there. You know, you need to know a member to get in the game.
Right, right, right.
So to some degree, I think there's this, like the Masters at Augusta National, it's almost like this mythical thing to people. It's something they see on television, you know, because, you know, it's not accessible for most people. I mean, you know, I've been so fortunate to be covering, you know, so many of them over the years, but most people can't get there. So I try to be, you know, bring readers inside the gates and inside this into the city for that week, just to kind of see the madness that goes on there.
And wasn't it last year? You mentioned the par three. Was it last year when Tony Finau made the hole in one and almost broke his leg?
That was the year before last.
Year before, okay.
Yeah, right. And that was amazing. You know, the par three contest for our listeners is an annual occurrence. It takes place on the Wednesday of Masters Week,
which is the last
practice round day, and it's an incredibly there's a little 9-hole par three amazing golf course on the grounds there at Augusta, and Finau, that was one of the I tell you what, the most amazing thing was he almost snaps his ankle, has to kick it back into place after celebrating a hole in one, and there was speculation he might not be able to play the tournament, and that, you know, the next day he turns up and plays, and he was in contention right through into Sunday, which was an amazing feat. So that was one of the cool moments.
Yeah, that was the year Patrick Reed, I guess, won that 2 years ago, right?
Was it
Patrick Reed that won two years ago?
You know, Finau was right in the mix, you know. Yeah. It was very emotional. His dad was there and his family, and I mean, there were tears. It was just a very, very cool scene there, amongst many I've seen.
What about the state? What about golf right now? I mean, unfortunately, we started playing the Players, and it never, you know, that was it. That was like when everything went down that first round, and then it was all gone. I mean, poof, it was all gone. We're not getting to the major season. We're not going to see the Masters. We hope we see it in September, if we even see it then. What about where we are right now in golf? Because it's a little different time, because there's so many guys on the tour, Mark, that can win. I mean, you watch these tournaments every week. Yeah, you have no idea who's going to win week to week.
I know. And, you know, I mean, you know, just leading into this Masters, there were so many incredible storylines. You know, can Tiger repeat? You know,
Spieth
is always in the mix. Rory's looking for his career Grand Slam to be completed with a Masters win. So, yeah, you've got so many. I mean, you know, Koepka, you know, there's just, you know, DJ, just down the line, the game is very healthy. It's so interesting you mentioned that, because I was down in Jacksonville covering the Players' Championship.
Right, right.
And it just, that, you know, this thing happens so fast for all of us, you know, not just in the sports world and the golf world and whatnot, just everybody, but, you know, in my little world, you know, I'm down there covering the golf tournament on the Thursday. I'm out to dinner with some colleagues on the Thursday night, and all of a sudden everybody's looking at their phones, and on Twitter, you know, Tom Hanks is now in Australia with his wife, and he's got it.
Yep,
and then the next thing,
you
know, the NBA season is suspended.
Yep.
And so that happened so fast, and then we're speculating, okay, well, then there's going to be no fans in attendance, you know, for the rest of the tournament. And then by 10 o'clock that night, they canceled it. And I'm on a flight home, and it's kind of like you've been running since. So I don't know what's going to happen. I don't think anybody has any answers for any of this stuff. And I've been listening to your show this morning, and, you know, you've articulated that as well. Right now, the best speculation is that it's looking right now like the Masters is going to try to get, you know, go in November.
That's what they're saying now, November now? They're
November.
Pushing it back
to? Because the course doesn't even open up. You know, they close every year, you know, at the end of May on Memorial Day, and they don't
even open up
for the members till like mid-October. You know, just before it gets really hot down there and the weather and whatnot. So it's looking like right now November. We're still waiting to hear. I reported about a week and a half ago that Wingfoot has been told that the U.S. Open is not going to take place at Wingfoot in June, but they're still hoping to have it take place at Wingfoot later in sometime in September, they're hoping. But there's a few dominoes that still have to fall. The PGA Championship has already suspended, and they're hoping to get, you know, do something later in the summer.
That was where in San Francisco that was going
to
be,
at Harding Park in San Francisco. You know, the U.S. Open, as I said, is absolutely not going to be played in June. It's just a matter of when, and hopefully it stays at Wingfoot. The British Open, there was a report by Golf Digest a couple of days ago that they were going to cancel completely. Now, they have not.
When is that, July? Mid-July? Is that when it is?
That is mid-July, yes. So they're, you know, the report from Golf Digest was that they've got an insurance policy, you know, for something like a pandemic. So they would not lose out all the money if they just, you know, if they don't play. So, but they've come out, the RNA that has come out and said that they're contemplating things, including suspension, but they never use the cancel word. So we'll see what happens there. And the Ryder Cup, of course, is supposed to be taking place at the end of September.
Right.
So, you know, whether that takes place at Whistling Straits here or they suspend that, I suspect that's going to be suspended for a year, if you had to ask me. I think that'll go next year. But, yeah, it's everything's up in the air. I mean, the hope is, you know, the pie-in-the-sky hope is that they'll get all four majors in the fall, you know, like maybe like sometime in August for the PGA, U.S. Open in September. So maybe perhaps the British suspends till September as well and maybe takes the Ryder Cup slot and then the Masters in November. But honestly, you know, and again, you know, you talked about it earlier in your show. How do we know when anything's going to take place? And if they do take place, I can tell you this, it's not going to be the grand affairs that they were before. There may well be no spectators at all.
Yeah, I would think not. I agree with you. Talking to Mark Cannizzaro, great sports writer for the New York Post. I mentioned his book, 7 Days in Augusta. It's out now behind the scenes at the Masters. You know, one of my favorite golfers is Jordan Spieth. And what happened to this guy? Do you think that we will ever see Spieth back to the guy who, you know, dominated that 1 year? He won two majors. He almost won the British Open that year as well. He did win the British Open after that. But I always say this, Mark, I don't think he's really – I know he won the British after or the Open Championship after he collapsed and lost that Masters to Danny Willett, but I don't think he's ever really recovered from that. I mean, how about that?
Well, it's hard to say there, Joe. I mean, because he did go and win a British Open after that.
Right.
You know, although he almost spit that up as well, as you
almost
recall, you know, with that crazy, you know, flared shot into the –
from like
the
two fairways away, right.
On 13, but – So I don't know. I think, you know, Jordan is one of my favorite people in the game, and I think that he thinks too much. I think he's a little over analytical, in my opinion. That's just me. That's my amateur, you know, 10 handicap opinion, so to speak. But I think he thinks too much, and I think he's, you know, I think he's allowed. He's an emotional guy, and he's allowed his struggle to you know, to seep into other parts of his game. I mean, Jordan used to be the best putter in the game when he was on it. I mean, he was
the
making
best.
Everything he was looking at.
Yep.
And unfortunately, you know, he was never the greatest ball striker, as you know. And, you know, I think what's happened is as the struggle started, it started to seep into the things that were his strengths. And so now all of a sudden he's not making the putts he used to make. So, listen, this is a very cyclical game. And you know what I mean? He can, you know, these things... You know, guys fade. You know, they get hot, they fade. I mean, you know, I mean, look at what DJ was doing a couple of years ago,
and we thought
he was never going to lose another tournament. And not that he's been horribly bad, but when was the last time he's won? Right? I mean, you know, last year and a half or so, it's been Brooks Koepka. You know, he's not going to keep that up. You know, so nobody keeps it up. Tiger's the only guy that kept it up in a sustained manner, which just, you know, underscores, you know, how otherworldly great he was in his heyday. So, yeah, I hope Jordan gets back to it. That's why I was fascinated to see this Masters, because Jordan, to me, Joe, much like Phil Mickelson, he has got this kind of this vibe kind of engulfs him when he gets to Augusta. He always performs well there. You know, he's had a runner-up there. He's obviously, you know, he threw that one away, and he won one. So, you know, even in bad times, Jordan has contended at Augusta. So I would have been fascinated to see if that might have snapped him out of the funk a little bit next week.
You think we'll ever see Ricky Fowler win a major if we ever get back to, you know, to some kind of normalcy again? You think we'll ever see that happen?
I hope so, because Ricky's another one of my guys that I like in the game. And, you know, he came so close that 1 year a few years ago. I think it was 14. And might be making.
Wasn't he the runner-up in every major that year?
He was top five.
Top five, which is incredible. Right,
but you know, Ricky's got to get out of his own way now. Ricky has just not been a Sunday closer, so to speak, and you know, he's had some difficulties with final rounds and majors and you know, in big tournaments. So yeah, listen, he's young enough where of course he can win one, but you know, I mean, maybe the fields are so deep, you know, I never rule any of those guys out like that. But he's, you know, it's become a thing for Ricky now. He doesn't want to admit that. He won't admit it, and you know, those around him won't. But you know, let's be honest, when this stuff happens, when you're that good for that sustained a period of time and you haven't picked one of these things off, it's becoming a thing now. It's around his neck, and he's got to remove it.
So I'm going to get to Mark Cannizzaro. You know, We had on my show, on our show with Evan in the afternoon on The Fan, we had Coach Herman Edwards on, of course. And Mark, obviously, you know, is a big, the big Jet fan I am. And, you know, I don't know if you remember this or not, but the Doug Bryan game in Pittsburgh.
I do. I remember the phone conversation you and I had. Was I was at a bar doing a race,
yes.
Doing a spot with you when after that.
Well, it was. I don't think we were doing a spot. I think we were doing. We're arguing after the game, and I want to. If you remember this, because I will never forget it. I'm with my buddy, my good buddy Tommy Keenan. We were at the game, and one of the moments in that game, you know, Bryan obviously misses the field goal, and I'd said this to Coach Edwards. As he's lining up for the game-winning field goal, in I guess it was the end of regulation at this point, all this we were up there in the upper deck at Heinz Field, and all the Steeler fans are leaving. And my buddy Tommy gets up and he goes, "Where are you going? He's not going to make this kick." I'll never forget this. And he's a big Jet fan like me, and of course he doesn't make the kick. Everybody comes back. They eventually lose the game. And after the game's over, we're walking over to Clemente Bridge back to the hotel, and I'm calling, you know, I can't tell you what I was saying. You can only imagine what I'm
saying.
That's
right. I remember we saw each other at the bar. That's what it was,
right.
Yes.
That's right. And I think it was you and Samini and Serby, and then Kim Jones was there, all these different people. Do you remember that? And I remember we were arguing, you and I think, because I'm screaming about the kicker. You guys are screaming about the kicker, and I'm screaming about the coach. I mean, what are we doing? How conservative can you play this game?
You and I butted heads over Herm Edwards a lot on the air and certainly in that situation with the bar, because I've always been a big Herm guy. And from listening to you, you've come around a little bit now, and you've seen where it's gone since Herm.
Of course.
You know, the guy brought him to the playoffs, you know, I mean. They knocked on the door. Listen, Herm wasn't. You know, everybody's got their flaws. Herm was obviously not a great game day coach, but you know, there was a lot. There was a lot of positives to Herm. And the argument that I made in that Doug Bryan situation was Bryan's numbers, and I can't quote them exactly, but
right.
Bryan's numbers from that range when Herm got conservative, you know, to try to just line him up to make that field goal. Were like 92.6% from that range, whatever the number was. In his career, not just the year, in his career.
Right.
So
right.
If you're a good coach, you play the percentages, right? And Herm played the percentages, and he got burned, you know. And obviously, you know, understandably, you were very emotional because, you know, as rabid a Jet fan as you are, and, you know, a lot of people like to, you know, bang Herm for his clock management, all those things. So all those kind of warts, you know, came to the surface there. And that was, you know, I tried to defend Herm and say, look, the guy was playing the percentages. The kicker missed the kicks. You know, but yeah, I do remember that. I remember that very well. I forgot it wasn't a spot. I remember bumping into you at the bar.
Yep.
We were staying at the same hotel, I believe it was, and
yep.
We were at the hotel bar there. And it was a pretty passionate argument because I've always been a big Herm guy in terms of the attributes that he brings to the table. And you were very down on him. And I think you've come around a little bit when you realized what he did do in his tenure there compared to what these other guys have done.
And look, He took the Jets to the playoffs three times more than any head coach in the history of the franchise. And God knows I take him any day of the week over Adam Gase.
Yeah.
I can tell you that.
Joey, I hear you had my guy, the flag man, on earlier. I was listening.
Yes. Tell me, now, is that a treat you used to go all the time? You would tailgate with this guy before games?
I still do.
Let
me tell you something. As Joe, as rabid a Jet fan as you are,
right,
I will
right.
line these guys up with you on the same level in terms of their passion.
Right,
these guys, right. Warren Flagg, who's a retired FBI agent, Johnny Esposito, owns the oldest pork store in New York. He's in Brooklyn over on Court Street. He brings the grill and the meats and all that kind of stuff. You know, Danny Mendez brings the camper and the RV and the whole program. Patty, the whole crew. I'm telling you, every single Jet game at home, I've never missed a tailgate with those guys for any Jet game. I get there early,
wow.
Hang with those guys, go in about, you know, an hour before the game and cover the game and they do their thing. But that story that Flagman told about Curtis was such a funny story because I actually used that in a book I wrote about the Jets a few years back called Tales from the Jet Sidelines. Those guys told me that story, and it encapsulates the class guy that Curtis Martin is,
God.
Because he was apologizing to those guys
for the game.
While in, you know, in traffic to the Holland Tunnel. I mean, to the Holland Tunnel to get out of town. He was apologizing then for the game. You know, I mean, can you imagine that? That was just one of the really funny anecdotes that was in that. But I, you know, the flag man, who's one of my dearest friends on the planet, and is just fresh off of open heart surgery, and he encapsulated that perfectly. And those guys, I'm telling you, one of these days, whenever they do play football, Joe, we're going to get you go over there. I will defy you to find better food before any football game or any sporting event that you'll find at this tailgate. So we will work that once the season gets rolling.
Let's hope so. You know, I wonder if when the season gets rolling, Mark, if there's even – first of all, let's hope we're playing football on time. But I wonder if we're going to see any people in stadiums for a long time. I really wonder.
Yeah, I do too. I'm kind of curious what your opinion is too, Joe, about because I'm conflicted about the draft situation. I wrote a column last week. How it just doesn't seem feasible that they have this draft when the peak of this thing is supposed to be hitting right around then. But the other side of it is I want the draft to take place because I want something to look at.
Sure, you need a distraction.
Sink my teeth into and write about. You know.
Right. Right,
but it's just I don't know what your take is on that, but I know you're probably up against a break here. But that's something that I think that's a fascinating dynamic. My colleague Paul Schwartz, kind of weighed in actually a couple of days ago as well, and saying how insane it is to go through with this thing. But again, I'm conflicted because I want it to take place, but do I think it should take place? No, I don't think I do. But it's a strange tug of war that we have emotionally with this as sports fans.
Well, I want to see it happen. I mean, look, it's something that can happen without people, without the extravaganza that it was supposed to be in Las Vegas. So, for no other reason than just the distraction of it, Mark. You know what I mean?
I agree, Joe. Absolutely. It's just something for us to look at, and it's something live, to look at. I agree with you. But it's just a whole...
Yeah.
Listen, we can't completely paralyze, and if we can do this in a society, we could do this in a way that's safe, then I guess, let's have at it. But, I certainly do see the other side of it, too, with everybody that's sick and struggling with this. And, obviously we're all struggling emotionally with this, whether we've got the virus or not.
No doubt. Before I let you go, we're talking to Mark Cannizzaro. Just let's assume we do have an NFL season. It goes off on time and all that. What do you think is going to happen with the Patriots with Belichick? Who do you think is going to be their quarterback? How do you think that? Because I as long as Bill's there, they're going to be a dangerous team. What's your thoughts?
I agree with you. You and I have a similar respect for Belichick, Joe. I've covered him since the days he was, when he was a Giants assistant,
right,
for Parcells.
Sure.
But it is a fascinating subplot to this year. What does Bill do without Brady? What does Brady do without Bill? He's going to have look what Belichick did, in 08 when Brady went down against Kansas
Matt Castle.
City, blew his knee.
Yep.
And he won 11 games with Matt Castle and didn't make the playoffs, which was criminal.
Yep.
Just as criminal, frankly, it's just as criminal as the Jets not making the playoffs with 10 wins a few years ago, I would say.
Yep.
But
Thank you, Todd Bowles.
Yeah, I would say that I think that the Patriots are still the favorites in the division until further notice, and I think Stidham is going to be the quarterback.
Really?
I was talking to Mike Tannenbaum the other day, and he brought up a good point. He said, he felt one of the more underreported aspects of this Patriots situation was how long ago it was basically back at the beginning of last season when they cut Hoyer. That showed him the confidence they had in Stidham since he was only one snap away, which we never got to see. Other than that Jet game when he threw the pick and Belichick yanked him right away.
Jamal Adams for a touchdown, right?
Yeah, but I think that, listen, I mean, if I'm a betting man, I'm thinking the Patriots are still going to win 11 games next year and win the division, with Stidham at quarterback. I don't see them bringing another veteran in like a Cam Newton or a Jameis. I think Jameis would probably drive Belichick out of coaching, probably. So I don't know if he could ever, rein him in. And I don't know. I think there's part of Belichick, I'm sure there's part of Belichick that wants to prove that he's going to win without Brady and he's going to win with the guy he drafted.
Of course. No, I don't think there's any question about that. Well, let's hope we get to see it, Mark. I mean, that's really the most important thing. Let's hope we got any kind of a season. You know what I mean? We can only pray.
Joe, I agree with you. Right now, NFL has been getting criticized for going full steam ahead on everything, but there's no reason at this point, at this stage, for them to start. They've got their eye on everything. I did see that my friend Judy Batista saw her tweet something this morning about that the NFL's, one of their primary physicians had basically said that he can't see the season going on unless there is widespread testing available, which I thought was, I think that's probably could be the case for any of their major sports, whether it's the NBA gets going again or the NHL or, MLS or anything. I have a feeling we've got to get to a point where, they know that the players are not carrying or testing positive. because they're not social distancing, you know, while they're in competition, right?
No, that's for sure. No doubt about it. Mark, it's always great talking to you again. His book, 7 Days in Augusta, Behind the Scenes at the Masters. Great sports writer for the Post. Really, we got to do, Mark, if we ever get back to normalcy again, we got to get out on the golf course together. That's something you and I have never done. I know you're a lot better than me, but we'll have to do that.
We will do it without question. And you call me anytime. I enjoy chatting, and we're all scuffling for content at this point. So even people want to listen to some idiot like me talk sometimes. So I'm in.
Got it.
Whenever you need it.
Mark, I appreciate it. The great Mark Cannizzaro. All right, Joe Beningo with you here. We are, of course, live from New Jersey. We're on the CBS Sports Network. We're on WFAN. 855-212-4227 is the number. 855-212-4227 is the number. We're here till 10 o'clock. My partner, Evan Roberts, will come your way. We got Bob Glauber. We'll talk football with him at 9 o'clock. We'll break here. We're back with more of your phone calls.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.